Okay, good morning, good afternoon. So we're holding here in Perikas Zion. He's speaking over here about Rayas, the Teres Min HaShemayim. And he starts off kind of very poetically interesting. Anoshim Chakri Lev, Aholchem HaChasichlo Me'atzmon. People that are, they go with Don Seichel. They mchachme umas and they come philosophim. Reitzim l'schakel metzias v'seder shaloi. They would like to try to understand the metzias of the world at Seder. Actually, damu shondal emes. And they think they were not emes. V'hine soch l'rochku l'yodav l'evinu b'chashechis halochu. Shem hoyu noisim leiv l'deya. L'das hoyu noisim hoydo l'sherisseh yisetem l'shemayim. So the thing that philosophers deny more than anything else is Teres Min HaShemayim. You know, that which is in most direct opposition to the philosopher's approach is the mustik of Teres Min HaShemayim. Teres Min HaShemayim means as follows, that the world as the understanding of good and bad is a question of thinking long and hard enough. And therefore, if a person thinks long and hard enough, he'll come up with a moral system. So even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu happened to give Teres Min HaShemayim, it does not really have to be that way. It's sort of it's just like the Marshall. Imagine I'm a scientist and I know things around me because I read it in the science books. That's a mikra. I could have experimented myself and come up with it myself. It's the same MS, it's the same idea. I took a shortcut. Teres Min HaShemayim is not only that Torah is something that happened to be given in HaShemayim, and it was made life easier for us that we have a shortcut, we know exactly what's right and what's wrong, and that's it. Teres Min HaShemayim is be'etzim, and a human mind could not have come up with it. It's something that has to be in HaShemayim. So he says, "Ki ikazeh shel Teres Min HaShemayim kashadam yavshit begodim atzoyim horois v'itayir ayonai azayamid al abir b'moifes chaytich ki efshir rak shel Teres Min HaShemayim." So he says there must be Teres Min HaShemayim. Okay, v'hine ilo noshim ba'atzmam kashay choykrim al metzius hasibur rishayna. If let's say people, so let's start with the philosopher, the person who thinks into the bria. They have to come up with the concept of a Sibur Rishayna, that everything has a primal cause. They would come up with clear proofs of there being a primary cause. From the fact that everything around works, and works well, there must be a cause to it. So whatever we can discern is certainly something that is b'chachma. V'dovzei efshar shiyeh b'mikra, ki hamikra lo yasmid ve'enoy harbe. So here he says there's a cloud that we use in evaluating things. Whenever we see something that is happening and we want to ask ourselves, is it a mikra or is it be'etzim? So how many times it happens and how long it lasts are the primary tests for whether something is a fundamental existence or it just happens to be mikra. It's almost by definition, the word mikra, the opposite of mikra is masmid. And that's the difference. So being that we see everything, So Adkan is something that a lot of people will be on board. The idea that that's be creator, some primary force, and so on, has many more adherence than Tavim Shemayim. So assuming that this is a given for these people, something they agree upon, now he says, So you're all on board that the world itself is structured, organized, consistent, constant, and that's something that defies a constant mikra. Behind initial, so we'll ask them, in Hoya Boiler, it's Sikh of Ani of Agazal Hamas, Moise and Susmation Suda. Let's say the world had as a norm all of these Iberias. Would you consider the world Yashin Masuda? I mean, Dovazi Efshalemish, Dovazi Masuda Yashin. That's a world that's a chaotic world. It's a world that's not going to have a key in the soul. Vim Neima, Keena Termina Shamayim, Rakusei Hol Medaikun. So Mal says a very fascinating argument, and it goes like this. I'll spell it out outside. The world is a world that physically is kayal, and we see that. So obviously there's a Bara Olam who created a world that exists in order to exist. And that's how it's physically set up. If we have human society, and if human society is to exist and not destroy itself or the world, there have to be restrictions and obligations. If those were left up to people's goodwill and understanding, they would also be haphazard. In other words, some people think this way, some people just don't think. Some people think the other way. Some people have this sheep, that sheep, the other sheep. There would not be anything in parallel to the laws of nature in terms of the laws of society. And that would mean that the world itself is waiting to be hard. So in order to have a key of the world the way we have it, or to have a key of the world, there must be governance of human society in a way that is consistent, absolute, and has something of the same regularity as the laws of nature. Human mind can't be that. It doesn't always think, it doesn't come up with everything, it disagrees, it distorts, it's not something like that. The acha ki ef shalom es ha'olam rak mikra kara, He said, the laws of conduct, the basic laws of conduct, had to have been placed in the Bria as a standard, immediately with the Bria Solomon, because one has no key without the other. So his point is, the basic mitzvahs of Zionism now are there for the key of Ma'olam. The world will disintegrate without it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world and made it physically viable, then he must have made it socially viable as well. People have the chiyuv, people can destroy the world if they want. But there has to be some mahalach within the Bria itself that sustains it. That these are the Zionism in there. The kach, achachom of yoyim sid olam be'emes, sidru v'gozah shel stav adam ha'shem yisbarach moshe yisbarach. Shaloyah seder, let's see, let's get over here. So it could have been left up to the whims, you know, will he figure out, will not figure out. Because Bei Sofra lach mich auch mehr, wenn ich nicht erhalte, und ich auch mal kein Räuische Kolosch in Balem Lof, ach, ich will ein Loschen wie Achat, ich believe in communal living, loya kol echot ishe mi fedes. Shaholach achadim ishe matos. The reason why he believed that was because he was Baldinian, and this is what he projected. Al dono shu bechiluk mashu lachem, veich Räuische in Nissen ach zero ilo masseh o'odam mashu choyte. Ich glaube, es ist öfter, dass ich weiß, was ich bin, wenn ich bin, wo ich sitte betrachten, dass ich mit dem Schengenswag und Schneefer komme zu der Pachma. Der Elu, die der Meister, ich bin sehr, sehr gut, zu dem Schengenswag. I wanted to comment to this. He's giving an argument to Tarim and Shomayim. There are two mahalchim in these arguments. One is arguments to convince people who are outsiders. Now, is that argument effective or not? It really has to do with the person listening. There is no such thing in math. You can prove something absolutely, and you run the numbers through a computer, and anyone who is at least borderline sane has to agree to the same numbers. But those things are very absolute, and it's universal, and that's that. Ideas in terms of philosophical principles, moral principles, I'm not universal in any sense of the word. And they're very much totally are they misyashiv on the lay of Hashemir, like it's a very parallel that they told him over, you know, they were place of the column, but there's nobody who was place of the column to him. Whatever he heard, he didn't like. So all of these arguments that people make, when you're talking about making an argument for other people, it really depends what's effective, what's ineffective. Hard to believe that today, anyone would buy into the argument even close to this. It doesn't talk to anybody. But the tachlis of reasoning like this, mitzat the morale, is, I don't know if the morale thought that he would convince anybody of the argument. I don't think that's the purpose of this argument. But it's our understanding, when we talk about Ikrei Emuna, is Torah min Hashemayim a new principle? In other words, totally disconnected to Bias Olam. There's a Kadosh Baruch who's Borei Olam, the existence of God, Borei Olamim, and giving Torah, and one could be without the other. Could that work? Or, no, it's something that is Muchach, Mitzad, the Kima Bria. It's not like Kadosh Baruch who wants that the Bria should exist, that you have to have Torah. So this line of reasoning, he speaks to somebody to help explain that inherently Torah min Hashamayim is part of the bigger picture of Kadosh Baruch Hu wants an existence of the world. The most primary lesson of Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence, and that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu should do. So he says, V'oid, ha-metziyus ha-zehu efshori mitzad moch, mitzad, somebody mixed up with I'm not home on the pages. Okay, so let's talk about this line, please, at this point. The Rambam, the Maral, the Ramchal, many of them are, when they define HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they use the following term. Everything within the world, what's a core definition of Kadosh Baruch Hu? So a term used a lot is called Muchach HaMetzius. The Rambam uses it, the Rambam describes it, many use it. Muchach HaMetzius means that our existence is Mikra. We could exist, we could not exist. And therefore, our existence demands a question, what caused it? So why is such a person alive? Because of his two parents. And why is it that so-and-so is prospering? Because the rain is coming, because this, because that. For the existence of anybody in the world is described in terms of could be not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defined as the one who is Muchach HaMetzius. His existence is an essential feature It's not something that could be, could not be. So therefore, the question of what caused it is a non-question. We define a Kadosh Baruch Hu as something that needs no cause to exist. He is existence in itself. And therefore it's primary. It's just like a number that's not primary. We ask ourselves, what numbers cause this number? A number that's primary is defined. It stands in itself. Number three is caused by no multiplication. It is. That's all it is. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is defined as something that is, that who is the Etzem. Now, being that he's the Etzem, so anything that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants or does has that characteristic. Anything that we want to do has the characteristic of being possibly yes, possibly not. So therefore, he says, the world is mechuyev to exist because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. Not because the world in itself is mukha, because nothing in the world is mukha. This chair could have been made, could have not been made. This person could have been born, not been born. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, the existence of the world is something which is part and parcel of the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence. His will and his actions carry the same characteristic as him. Ki mitzad Hashem is bar hu mechuyev u muchrach hametzius. U muchrach sheni yeh nimtza. Shu goyze mitzius. Ve u me'acha ki mitzius adam mechuyev Hashem bar. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nas Adam. V'mata oimek, I say that's a nimish al sech Adam. And if that depends on Adam, ve mitzius adam in mechuyev zeh lechuyev. Ve say shu nimish al sech Adam shu efshem. Our thoughts and understandings and evaluations are all given for maybe yes, maybe not. So if there's no inherent absolute type of Indian, then it's a bottle. The speaker of the Eshach Shalom is Suda Shem's work. Let's talk a little bit more. I want to talk a little bit more about reading some of this. It's a very important concept to understand. Let's talk about it as follows. The laws, we have different ideas that we put down. For instance, that no two things can exist in the same place at the same time. That something, the basic laws of logic, two things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Things of that nature, axioms of that nature. That's one set of statements. Let's take another set of statements. Things that are black look very nice against a background that's white. Gray is a very murky, unpleasant color. And a bunch of statements of that nature. And things, sounds that are not harmonized are unpleasant to the ear. So I have a bunch of statements over here. So the first category, we call them muchrach because they are facts on the ground that precede man. They're not born of man's, it's not a construct of man. It's man discovered these laws, and he finds them in the Bria, and they're be'etzim the Bria, and the Mela, they never bottle, and they're constant. The second category, the second group that we spoke about, are things that it's a human projection. And I saw a book once, it's very recent. Somebody put out a book. I forgot the name of it, a science book. It's about the ugliest creature in the world, ugly creatures in the world. Some really ugly ones. Fascinating ones, like mostly the underwater fish, a little kind of really weird. And she makes a point that Bal Karchach, there's no God, and it's all evolution, because no way God could have made such ugly creatures. That's the line of reason she uses. Vibrational line of reason, but Bal Kapanim, that's the line of reason she uses. Now, the point is, maybe that thing thinks that you're wrong. I don't know. For that octopus, for that sort of weird-looking octopus, you look weird. I mean, what kind of analysis is it? Beautiful, not beautiful. When you analyze, you say an animal is very inefficient. That's an absolute thing. It takes the animal 1,000 calories to hunt down 800 calories of food. You say that's highly inefficient, unsustainable. But when we talk about beauty, it starts with being endless. So even if it's universal, all human beings think that gray is a murky color. But it's a projection of a human. It's not an absolute value. So when you talk about morality, that's really the question. And in my mind, this is one of the strongest arguments in favor of Rabbeinu Shalom and the Torah. Nobody thinks, when you ask a person, what is morality? I'm talking morality not only our eyes, I'm talking about from A to Z, stealing, robbing, all of them that we consider good and evil. Are they absolute values, or are they expressions of what we feel are good enough? I'm not the first one, but here Aristotle, Socrates, are the gods good because they're good, or is it good because the gods like it? So if it's this latter, that it's something that we feel is right and wrong, and we strongly feel so. So basically, no one can call me evil if I think stealing is good. I think that cheating the government is a good thing. The government wastes so much money and does so much bad with it. If I help myself with a few extra dollars, I'm only doing everybody a favor. It's a win-win situation. The government has less money spent on Arishkeit and have more money spent on good things. That's what I think. You don't think so, okay? You know, you think that Arias are okay. I think still is okay. It's like saying you like blue on gray and I think it's ugly or fine. So about Karhoff, there must be an absolute standard. Where does the absolute thing come from? In other words, it's nothing we can discover scientifically in the Bria. So where is that absolute standard? And the word absolute standard comes with the word muhrach. Things, laws of nature are muhrach. They're not pleasant or useful. The first definition of the law of nature is whether you like it or not, it's the only way. Light will never, ever, ever travel more quickly than that, period. And positive and negative particles will attract each other and will repel the same one. Nikuda, it does not have any rhyme or reason, whatever it is, and it's mukha. If the world of Torah is not mukha, then basically there is no morality in a sense of it's what I like, what I don't like. It's a human concept. So some philosophers think that all assets in the world should be shared equally. Some feel that whatever you work, that's what you earn, and it's yours, and then you can then invest it and so on. Who's right? Well, how do you determine who's right? You can say who's more efficient. That you could say. You can make two societies and try to make an experiment, but you can't say one is right and one's wrong. But just like you can't say who's right and wrong in terms of a color scheme in a house. He says, you can't say the first step, if the Ribbono Shel Olam is mukha, and he created a world to exist, and therefore he wanted to exist, you can't say that physically it exists, and in terms of social structure, it will not exist. That's Machayev, that the same source for the laws of nature is the laws of appropriate interaction. Because, in other words, the same person who makes the laws of nature has to have put into the Bria the laws of behavior of nature in order for the world to sustain. So these mitzvahs are to be seen in terms of a chreach coming from the same mokrim that as a result came as the laws of nature. There's an interesting the Chassidus Sfarim point out there is in the Pesukim you have the Moshe of Sucha Lecho B'Sharecha. So the Targum teaches it less Rishu. In other words, the word you cannot, L'Suchal, really means you may not. Not that you cannot physically, but that you may not. Now, so why did the Torah call L'Suchal? So Paska says, because if you're not allowed to, then you cannot. And so let's talk a minute or two about this. You have a concept that a tzaddik eats pre ma'asov, and a rasha suffers the result of his ma'asim. So on one level, you learn a Kadosh Baruch Hu sets it up like that. You know, should be meeting neged mida, so on. On a second level, it means the following: it's be'etzim in the bria that ra is ra, and therefore anyone that does ra, suffers it. What we do have, and I want to make a comparison to something in the physical world, and you have what's called the seven elementary machines, which are like a lever, a pulley, and stuff like that. Now, at first glance, they seem to defy the laws of nature. I can only lift a rock that weighs X amount, and with a lever, I can lift a lot more. The answer is, what I'm doing is I'm restructuring it, and I'm expending more energy over longer distance, and getting the same result, etc. In Hilchis, Marech Ape, the God of the Lay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a mevata, when Nafsh HaChayim makes this point, is because the punishment of Ra is not a mechanism that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to punish us for disobeying his will. It's locked into the Metzias. Ra is Ra because it's Ra. However, it doesn't have to be immediately. It's something, so just like when you can restructure the laws of nature as long as you keep that some law. So it's true that something needs a certain amount of energy to lift it up. But if I build a ramp, it can use less energy because the less energy is being spent over a long period of time. That's valid. So in terms of Einish and Sakhar Einish, you could have different arrangements, but you cannot have a whimsical kind of doing away with it. If a person is true, he has to have harat and so on that's equal to the hadnah of the chet and so on. So upon this point, this point in morale is that the world of mitzvahs that are nogia to kim ha'olam are muchrachim because they're muchrach for the kim ha'olam. And therefore the same Rabbi Shalom who gave laws of nature that are immutable and existential, so too did he give mitzvahs like that. And that certainly is design mitzvah in that. Okay, we'll hold it there by the way. Any points, any questions?
What's considered like a biological part of nature, and what's considered, let's say, Torah? I mean, I'm sure there are people that are going to argue that the morals of right and wrong that the Goyim have, Pashid, like, or in Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Nerach, they're all part of a biological process. They're all the same way we're born to eat, we're born with an aversion to steal. Like, at what point does it become
okay, clear? So let's take an example. Nazis had not only no aversion to killing Jews, what's his name, Eichmann, one of the more infamous statements, you know, after he was caught and cried this and told this, you know, that they killed, that the whole town was killed out here, he said, but they were Jews, weren't they? So Nazis felt extremely positive with Mesiras Nefesh to kill out Jews. In what way do you call them evil? I don't think anyone will disagree that they're evil, and they don't think so. So just like somebody whose sense of taste is horrible, when I say that he has no aesthetic taste, all I mean is his aesthetic taste does not meet up with the vast majority of human beings, but that's it. I'm not making any evaluation of a person. And yet, we instinctively, every single person has a sense of good and bad. So to define the evil, so then they say, you know, the typical statement is that which will cause more good to more people. That's what you think. I don't care about a lot of people. I care about myself an awful lot and don't care much about other people. So you can tell me that what I'm doing is inefficient, that if I eat a lot, 10 people are going to starve and I'm going to be overweight. So you don't like it, so you share your food with other people. I like it. I really don't care much about other people. You can tell me it's more efficient. Okay, yes, that statement I can agree with. But when you start with the music, the very concept of Tov and Ra is a concept that cannot be explained in terms of, if it's explained in terms of anything else, it's not the Tov and Ra we understand.
I don't get it.
Even the biggest atheist will not believe that there is good and bad. A decent human being will say, of course, that's evil. And say, well, what is evil? Because it causes harm, causes pain. I don't know. There are many people that hunt fox, you know, Hashanah people that consider themselves aristocrats and think hunting foxes or whatever it is a great sport. They think chasing fox is a great sport. That's, yeah, the division of things. Or people batting each other up and bruising each other, that's considered a world sport. It's considered to be wonderful. You know, I don't know why two human beings beating each other up is okay and two dogs beating each other up is terrible. I'm not sure why. I never figured out unless you say that dogs are worth more than they are, maybe. I don't know. So, yeah. Asha, you're muted. Unmute yourself. You have to press it.
You hear me now?
Asha, well.
Now you hear me?
Now you're unmuted.
So it's not in Vaughan because the Nazis didn't have the same concept of right or wrong as we do. So it's not universal.
So the answer is, its universality is what Baruch said, it's there. Rosh Baruch Hu said that anything that's Ra will destroy itself, ki yadua. So what would happen is, just like communism ate itself up, it devours itself. So it's Ra in the sense that society will destroy itself. And it's Ra because it goes against the etzem rotzon of kiyum ha'aviyah and has no survival. Evil societies will implode eventually, because it will eat itself up. That's the point of it.
So if we were standing in 1942, we wouldn't, the morals proof would be unavailable.
What?
If it was 1942 now and they were thriving, then the proof would be unavailable. We'd have to wait to see that it's true.
Correct. We have to see, we have to wait, yes. But this is his, look at communism. Communism took 70 years. And it wasn't destroyed. It dissolved itself. It ate itself up. When there's less than less dying. I want to tell you, I wasn't in communist Russia in 87, which is already kind of waning a little bit. I was there for a week, and the hargasha I had of the place was very depressed. It was the most depressing place, because people believed in nothing. Even from people who were my minimum, that the lack of trust in anything in the world was what communism had done. There is nothing in the world that is absolute. Everything is selfish and out for itself. And it was a society that emotionally and in terms of morale was gone. It was like, nothing is worth anything. Nothing's going anywhere. Everything is dying. And, you know, there's no God, there's no afterlife. there's no good, there's no bad. There's some nonsense about the collective will of the people, which means nothing to anybody. And everybody was ended up just thinking for themselves. So it created a terrible situation of if you don't have a Muna, you don't have life. If there's no Ribbono Shel Olam, the world has no existence. Just a question of when the light goes out. Okay, I have to run. Good.